And our next monologue is from Temporary Butterfly.
Okay, Maddie. Just add up the ice and the water so that it goes to that line. Yeah, that one. Right there. Okay, don't touch that bowl, or else you might scald yourself. Just dump it in real easy, just like that. And then stir it until the ice cubes melt. Yes, now Mommy just has to get the mold ready. Just keep stirring. Maddie, just what do you think you're doing? Don't look at me all innocent like that. You may not stick your little sister's dolls into the jello pan. I told you that last time. This is special. Mommy only does this kind of thing for special occasions, like Daddy's work potlucks. Good thing it hasn't set yet. I should just put it in the... Yes, I know that you think Barbie looks pretty with red hair. Red is the new blonde, they say. I know, I've read all about it. I just don't think I look that great with red hair. I have such a rosy complexion. Don't you think it would all just run together? Seriously, the only people who would look any good with red hair are pale, freckly people. But maybe I can get your daddy back that way. A fire goddess. A forest nymph. What would I wear to go with it? Don't you think that you would have to coordinate your entire life around having red hair, especially if it was fake? I'm just not sure about that. Yes, but Maddie, Barbie looks pretty no matter what she does. Even if she wore a bubble wrap muumuu with snakes coming out of her mouth and a mohawk, Barbie would look pretty. Barbie doesn't get scents or allergic reactions to hair dye. What I would give for just a... I don't think I should be talking to you about this. You don't really understand anyway. Maddie, do not stick your face in the jello. This is for Daddy's work thing. Besides, you could have been blinded with who knows what kind of chemical additives. Carcinogens! Thank God it hasn't set yet. If it did, you would have to go to your room. Or worse, maybe I can make you wash the dishes.
Temporary Butterfly. I really enjoyed this monologue. I thought it was hilarious. Jumping right into it, the energy, I have very little to say about it. I think you hit your character on the mark. I could visualize the character and feel the energy very well. I really had few problems with it. I think you could have been more... There's always places where you can be more expressive and add more energy to your character. But for what we're doing, I thought this was a good, very, very good start. Your diction, you had clarity for the most part. But when you get worked up, I found that some of your words just disappeared. And I know you said them, but they were so slurred to the point I didn't understand what it was you said. And it was mostly in those places where your character gets worked up and is talking really fast, or very excited, or agitated. You said pale, I assume it was pale, freckled people when talking about, you know, who looks good with red hair. I didn't hear freckled at all. This is just an assumption. Forest nymph, you lost the T on the end of forest. There was some point where you said, especially if it was, and I'm guessing the word was fake, and I'm sorry, I should go back and check what that full line was, but I just lost several words. But on the whole, I understood where you went. I understood the context, but just make sure you don't lose words in your process of performing, Russ.
Yes, overall the energy was very entertaining. The only, you know, I had like one question about get your daddy back. The way you said it, I wasn't sure whether you were saying get your daddy back in terms of you've lost him somehow and you're trying to attract him again, or you're trying to get revenge on him. That was up in the air for me. But otherwise, the energy I thought was great. I agree with Meredy in diction. You let things go a lot. I heard things like stew it until the ice cubes melt. I know that was stir, but I didn't hear the R. The L in look at me almost turned into an R, don't look at me. I read all about it instead of about it. You threw some extra words in from time to time. You said about 110, you said, but B, maybe I could. I think you probably would have been advised to go back and retake that to get rid of the extra word. I did not hear forest nymph. What I heard in that phrase was something like a fine guts of forest nit, and I had no idea what was going on at that
point. That's very interesting.
Yeah, so, what was that? A fine guts of forest nit? I have no idea. Quarinate your entire life, bubba wrap, nunu, you know. These are things. No, it did not.
For the... I keep doing this because I just like to hear Russ say all these bizarre words.
For the most part, I didn't lose any of the meaning. The meaning was not affected by these errors. It's just some of the things where sometimes I'll say, wait, what did she just say? So that's an area where you need to work more on. The energy worked nicely, but the diction needs to catch up to it. Overall, good job.
Yep.
So let's move on now to Fandubs X24X7.
In the time of your life, live. So that in good time, there shall be no ugliness or death for yourself or for any life your life touches. Seek goodness everywhere, and when it is found, bring it out of its hiding place, and let it be free and unashamed. Place in matter and in flesh the least of the values, for these are the things that hold death and must pass away. Discover in all things that which shines and is beyond corruption. Encourage virtue in whatever heart it may have been driven into secrecy and sorrow by the shame and terror of the world. Ignore the obvious, for it is unworthy of the clear eye and the kindly heart. Be the inferior of no man, nor of any man be the superior. Remember that every man is a variation of yourself. No man's guilt is not yours, nor is any man's innocent a thing apart. Despise evil and ungodliness, but not men of ungodliness or evil. These understand. Have no shame in being kindly and gentle. But if the time comes in your life to kill, kill and have no regret. In the time of your life, live, so that in the wondrous time you shall not add to the misery or sorrow of the world, but shall smile to the infinite delight and mystery of it.
There was enthusiasm, but I had no idea what you were talking about. It sounded like you were reading some kind of a religious tract. I guess I wasn't sure why or what your goal was. I couldn't tell you who your character was at all. Diction, there were a few places where I really wasn't sure what you were saying, and partly because maybe I didn't get the point of this religious tract. In retrospect, I think you must have been saying in a time of your life, but what I heard was in a town of your life. I think when you tried to say bring it, I'm guessing you meant to say bring it out of its hiding place, but what I heard was bring it out of its hiding place. I heard virtue as birchue, so you just did which means you did the opposite of everybody else. Everybody else was turning B's into V's, and you turned a V into a B, which I guess is sort of overcompensating. And I assume that you meant to say innocence a thing apart, but it came out as innocent a thing apart. So this was a little bit rough. Part of it, I think, is this might not have been a great monologue choice because there wasn't much you could do character-wise. And I had no idea who you were supposed to be or why you were saying these things. I don't really know what else to say about it. Meredy?
I think... not knowing where this is from, I think that this was probably, assuming she picked it out of like a monologue source, like a speech to the masses, like you were saying, some sort of religious tract, but it's unfortunately that is what makes it so difficult. Is like you're not directly talking to one person, you're not addressing one person specifically and expressing yourself as a character, but rather sending a message to a large group of people and putting all of your emphasis and energy on what it is that you're saying rather than expressing yourself. So this is a very, very difficult piece to fully show energy on. And unfortunately, the language used also makes it very difficult. You can put energy into the words. You can put energy into the speech to make it convincing and convicting. But this reminds me of reading Shakespeare for like the first or second time, in that you read it and you understand the general gist of what's going on, but the specific statements don't always click right away. They don't always make sense. And so you end up putting emphasis and energy into places where it may not necessarily belong, or doesn't work as well. You say something about not men of ungodliness and evil, and you say, these understand. And while, yes, it's a great place to put some energy into your speech, and try to drive home a message, it really is in the wrong spot because it's on one word and not enough on the others. We don't understand, like we said, like Russ said, we just don't understand what's going on. The diction, again, I think it's the language of the monologue makes it very confusing, and I think some of it, I mostly got confused on the language. I could make out most of your words, but there's some times where I thought that you had added an extra word in, and then I had to go back and realize, oh no, that's just the way it's written. There was one point at the beginning where he said, in at life your life touches, which I'm pretty sure that was a repetition of in or at life. It wasn't supposed to be there. But otherwise, there were times where it was muddled, but I could make out the general gist, but it was the language that made everything confusing. And unfortunately, that hindered both your diction and your energy for this performance. Yeah, so that's all I've got to say.
Okay, then we will listen to Zane next.
The great day dawned at last, sir, so I tidied up the hearth. I kissed my pet canary and filled its little bath. I took down from the parlor wall the motto, Bless Our Home! And in it wrapped my toothbrush, my pajamas, and a comb. The wife is soundly sleeping, so outside the bedroom door, I left her a saucer full of milk upon the floor. I shook the front door mat, sir, and I wound the 8-day up. Then took a third return, sir, to do battle for the cup. The whole town saw us off, sir. Everyone was there that day. If anyone was absent, well, they must have stayed away. And when we got to London, the whole team embraced the guard. A gentle undertaker kindly gave us each his card. At last we reached the stadium! I can still hear the roars that greeted my appearance in a breastplate and pulse fours. My rival spun the coin, sir, and the umpire shouted, Wide! I tried a mashy shot, sir, and I chose the Surrey side. The game began at once, sir, as we had to wait until the referee was ready. He was drawing up his will. And when he blew his whistle, all the place for miles around made for the various exits and went home by underground. We won the first three sets, sir, but I'm sorry to relate. We'd six men out at halftime and no trumps upon the slate. Our fellows passed like clockwork. They had passed exams at school, and every time they passed, I put a penny in the pool. Their forwards got the ball, sir, and our fellows got the hump. But every man among them came down at the water jump. I spring into the saddle, and I freely use the whip. And then, oh glorious sound, sir, came a long and loud hip hip! The crowd rose as one man, sir, as right through the ranks I broke. And I made straight for their goal, sir, with my famous trudgeon stroke. I broke the half-mile record, sir, and I might be going yet, if I had not miscued, sir, and nosedived into the net. They gave me a free kick, sir, and I kicked both hard and true. The ball went through a glass house in the gardens down at the Kew. A Boy Scout brought the ball back, his good deed notably done, and told the gladsome tidings how I had hold and won! And then the king sent for me. Proudest moment of the day! But as I stood before him, he faded right away. My wife stood in his place, sir. In her hand she held a cup and saucer, and she said these words, "It's 6 o'clock! Get up!"
Zane! Let me say this first. Your monologue, I don't know where you got it, but it's a poem. And we're looking for more of an acting, non-rhyming piece for you to perform. You did have energy in it that you were, you know, as you performed it to try and illustrate the different things that were going on, but there's so much stuff in this poem that I don't understand from a narrating point, because this was a narration, unfortunately, that I don't understand what was going on. And I think this is a piece that translates better as written, just as a piece to be read from a book, as opposed to spoken aloud, in this type of context, in this kind of competition lesson. The diction, sometimes I don't know if I was hearing everything, if I was hearing things slurred together, or if they were actual words in the piece you were performing. I know I did hear you say hearth, which is actually hearth, which would, I think, be used to complement with the bath a little more, the TH sound. I heard saw us off as sauce off. I heard in a breastplate and pulse fours. I don't know if that pulse fours is a word, if it was actually in there, or if it's something else, but that's what that's what I heard. I think it was miss a shot? I heard miss a shot, sir, and I chose the Siri-E side. And no tromps upon the slate. I'm sorry. This is a lot of words that either I can't tell are slurred or are actual. Again, they're actual words in the piece that are just odd because of the particular setup of this poem. So this is both difficult to perform and difficult to judge, unfortunately. Russ, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, the minute I started, I heard you go into it, I said, oh no, he's not, he's reading a poem. Which is really not the point of this. We're trying to act, not do poetry readings. For energy, I think you substituted volume. You did a lot of volume, and changes in volume, which was good. But there was no connection to a character, and generally it's difficult to find there being a character in a poem. Although this one, clearly there is somebody there who's doing this game. I had no idea which game it was. At one point you mentioned, I thought I heard you said a mashie or something, and said, oh, he's playing golf. And then you were on a horse and said, oh, no, he's playing polo, and I don't know the terminology there.
I think the poem itself is meant to be odd. It's like taking all the different sports and mashing them into one.
Oh, God.
So all that, because right. They were talking about taking strokes and getting a hole in one and the horse racing and all that stuff. So I think that's actually part of the poem,
which makes
itself.
It, you know, trebly difficult to perform this in terms of establishing a character, because there isn't really a lot of sense here. Meredy heard different things than I did. It sounded like to the beginning you said tied it up to her. I'll believe you said hearth, which should be hearth, but because hearth isn't a word.
Yeah, I think it was just a mispronunciation.
Right.
I actually
heard breastplate and plus fours, which still didn't help me an awful lot. I think plus fours might be some kind of a garment. You said famous Trojan stroke. I'm not quite sure why the extra or the D got in there. It was just the whole thing was just a mashup of whatever was going on and problems with diction, and not an awful lot for you to do in terms of establishing a character. I think this was a very poor choice of a reading, and it hurt you. I don't think you were able to gain from this particular lesson what you could have. I'm hoping we'll see better in the next round that you've mastered these skills, because you didn't really demonstrate it very well here this time.
He may have been thinking that, picking a poem, obviously you need to have clear enunciation in order to read, but unfortunately that's not... It was the right idea, but it wasn't what we were looking for here.
Yeah, and unfortunately the pronunciation didn't come clearly through. Okay.